morning. What a great joy it is to welcome you on this Easter morning as we come together to celebrate the gifts and the blessings that Almighty God continues to shower upon us. Hear these words from Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter, beginning with verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen."
Jesus, what have they done to you?
Do not be afraid. Why are you weeping?
They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've taken him.
Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was crucified, is not here. He is risen. Look, this is where they have laid him.
But where have they taken him?
Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?
Oh, sir, if you've taken him away, please tell me where you've laid him so that I can go and take him away.
Mary.
Rabboni, it is you.
Do not hold on to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. Go to Galilee and tell my brothers I will meet them there.
Peter, John, he's arisen. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Tell everyone he's alive.
Thank you. Choir. He has arisen indeed. Good morning and happy Easter. Please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response. Give thanks to the Lord. Sing songs of victory. Shout the good news. Open the gates of righteousness. This is the day the Lord has made. Please remain standing and join in our hymn of praise, number 302, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Thank you.
Please continue standing and join me now as we recite the opening prayer together. You will find the prayer printed in your bulletin. We can hardly believe our eyes and ears. The Lord is risen. Let us pray. Mighty God, you have become our strength and our salvation. With Christ, you have raised us from the dead. With Christ, you have freed us from the chains of death. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone of our lives. We marvel at your amazing love, Lord. We are delirious with joy. Hear the praises of your people on this day of days. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading on this Easter morning is from the New Testament book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. It may be found on page 109 of your pew Bible. Please hear these words. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter then came out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin which had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Saying this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told him that he had said these things to her. May our Lord bless the reading of John's words. Well, we've now reached the point in our worship service, our moments of informality, where I will take a few minutes to tell you about the mission and ministry of our church. But first, once again, may I offer a warm welcome to all of you, and especially our visitors who have joined us for Easter, the most holy of days, the celebration of our risen Savior. And what a glorious day of sunshine and blue skies we have waiting for us. While I share our announcements, I would ask that you complete the form in the red attendance folder that's located at the end of your pew. Please pass it to others in your pew, and when all complete, pass it back to the center aisle. If you have a prayer request this morning, please use the 3x5 index card that you can find in that red attendance folder. Place it in the clear holder at the end of the pew, and our ushers will bring it forward to Reverend Lake before joys and concerns. And now, please allow me to highlight just a few of our many announcements we have this morning. The Women's Bible Study Group will meet this Wednesday, April 11th at 10 a.m. If you would like more information, please contact Nancy Wallace, and her phone number is in the bulletin. Also, a reminder, District Conference is scheduled for next Sunday, April 15th, at Faith United Methodist Church in Delmont. Registrations were due last Thursday, however, if you are still interested in attending, please see Reverend Lake. Diane has an announcement.
Good morning. It's Easter Sunday. You know what that means? Christ is risen. You know what else it means? Next week, we have Holy Humor Sunday. We'll continue the celebration. And as part of Holy Humor Sunday, you all are invited to take part in Holy Humor Headgear Day. That means you need to have something on your head. Use your imagination. You don't look too thrilled. But that's what we want to do, is we want to laugh, and it's pleasing to me to hear your laughter, and it's pleasing to our Lord. So please come and bring your friends for Holy Humor Sunday next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Now, don't forget your headgear for next week, Holy Humor Sunday. Those of you that have been here have seen quite an array of Diane's costumes, headgear. So it will be fun to see what she has next week. A final reminder, Vacation Bible School has been scheduled for the week of July 16th, which is great. It will be held during evening hours, primarily in the hope of getting more adult helpers. So any adults, if you are interested in helping this wonderful ministry, please don't miss the meeting that is scheduled for Sunday, April 22nd. That's in 2 weeks after the 10:45 worship service. Jack Tickle, the youth pastor, will be conducting that meeting. And last but not least, we have a special congratulations in order today. One of our very own. As I announced last Sunday, Hunter, I have to get you to stand one more time, sweetie. Hunter has been selected by the National Council for Exceptional Children for 2012, the Yes, I Can Award. And he has been honored for many, many categories, academics, athletics, school, and community, just to name a few. He does so many good things that I'm getting tongue-tied up here, Hunter. Hunter is one of only 20 that will receive this award this Friday, April 13th, in Denver, Colorado. And our church family has come together in an effort to assist Hunter and his family with their expenses. So today's children's collection will be given in recognition of Hunter and for the family. So please give generously this morning. And as I told those of you here last week, if you don't know Hunter, please take an opportunity to get to know him. He is just an awesome kid. He's very near and dear to my heart, from Sunday school all the way now up through Boy Scouts, and he is so very deserving of this award. He faces deaf blindness head on every single day with such courage and dignity, and it's a true honor to be part of his life. Congratulations, Hunter. And finally, I remind you to read your bulletin and check the rest of the announcements, scheduled meetings, and other activities that we have planned. And now I say to you, may the peace of Christ be with you. Please. Oh, okay. Nellie, and so does that call for a happy birthday song? Ready, all together. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Nellie. Happy birthday to you. Nellie's 29. So again, may the peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Hello, everyone. How are you? Good to see you this morning. Can I get back here? Hey, because I have to pick something up back here. I brought a friend with me. You think you know what it is? Huh? Is that what you thought I was bringing?
What?
It's a chicken. What do you know about chickens? They don't have dots all over them. That's probably true. They don't wear hats.
And they don't wear
scarves. And they don't have a press here button. Do you want to press here? Listen.
They don't talk to them.
You know, when I was your age, I had a pet chicken. Well, not really a farm, but we did have chickens, rabbits, ponies, ducks. No. Rabbit and chickens. And I hatched chickens in my bedroom in a box I made with a light bulb. If you want to learn how, I'll teach you. And my banny hen, her name was Peep. Pretty original. And I caught a real egg one time. She was sitting in the egg nest, and I stuck my hand under there, and there it was. And it was warm. It was a warm egg. I took it up and refrigerated it and had it for breakfast the next morning. It was yummy. So, did you get an Easter basket this morning?
I did.
You did?
I did.
And let's sit down so kids can see. Did you have eggs in it?
Yeah.
No eggs?
I did.
You had eggs in yours? Did you color them?
No.
You decorated white eggs. Did anybody color them like this?
No.
Yeah, we didn't.
I colored a purple egg and a yellow egg and a green egg.
Our eggs that we hard boiled, we didn't have to color them because they came out of the chickens greenish. They're special chickens that lay greenish blue eggs. They're called anaconda chickens. Yeah, they're pretty cool. I know, but they exist. Because I've seen them with my own eyes. Now, why do we use eggs at Easter?
Because of the Easter bunnies.
Bunnies lay eggs?
No. They just give you eggs. The Easter egg put eggs in our shoes.
The Easter bunny put eggs in your shoe? That happens at your house. At your house, they go in a basket. Yeah. Well,
the Easter bunny put them all around the room.
All around the room, and then you have to hide them. Well, if you look over in that corner, what happened this morning? Did the angel roll the stone away? I couldn't see, but is that what happened?
Yeah.
That angel came out and rolled the stone away. And Jesus what?
Arose.
He arose. He came out. That's why we use eggs. Because if this egg were a special egg, if it were a fertilized egg and we heated it like 101 degrees for 21 days. You have to hold it there for 21 days. It'll hatch. And you'll hear it. It'll beep, beep. And then it starts
cracking.
And it cracks open. And the live chicken comes out of the egg. So when you see birds in the next few weeks sitting on a nest,
You need to leave her alone because there's eggs in there, and she's keeping them warm, and those eggs are going to hatch with baby birds. So we use Easter eggs because life comes out of it, kind of like a tomb, like Jesus came out of the tomb on Easter morning. So when you maybe go home today or tomorrow, and maybe you'll eat some of those eggs, remember that that is life and new life, and that's why we do the Easter eggs.
I eat them in my belly.
You eat them in your belly.
Yeah.
That's the best place to eat them and put them.
We put stickles on our Easter eggs.
You put what on your Easter eggs?
Stickles.
Stickers on your Easter eggs. That's pretty cool.
We won't eat stickles.
No, you don't eat the stickers. You don't eat the shell either. Well, let's not push them again. All right, let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we are thankful for these boys and girls, for their joy of Easter, the celebration of the baskets, the bunny, the eggs, and Jesus, his resurrection. Continue, oh God, to bless them, their moms and dads, all those that care for these boys and girls. For we pray that your presence might always rest upon them. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, I got cups right around the corner. Somebody be a cup helper. Will you pass those out for me? I've got some bulletins here. Let me get them in the right order. There you go.
No, I already have one.
You already have one. You need a cup, don't you?
Oh,
We come now to the time in our service when we want to lift up our joys and our concerns for individuals and situations among us. If you turn on the back of our worship folder this morning, you will see a listing of individuals in the life of the church to be lifted up in prayer. Let me also make these additions to pray for the family of Scott and Kim. Scott's grandfather passed away yesterday morning, Angelo, and he was 91 years old, so we will want to continue to remember them and their families as well. And also prayers for Reese in rehab after having a stroke last Sunday. So if you would make these two additions to those already on our prayer list, let us then continue to unite our hearts and our spirits as we go to Almighty God in prayer. Our gracious and loving God, with joy and celebration, we come into your presence, into your house this day. The good news that Christ is alive, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a good news that is beyond our understanding, a love that is so great that you will not let us go. A love that surrounds us each and every day by the one who seeks to lead us, to direct us, to sometimes walk beside us, and even to push us along the way. A love that is so great that you sent your only Son into the world, that he was born and lived and dwelt among us and offered to us teachings on wholeness and how to be each and every day. A love so great that he offered his life as that final, complete, and perfect sacrifice for our sins, for the sins of the whole world. And then your love, O God, opened up that grave as triumphantly he came forth and now offers each and every one of us a new life every day. And so it is our hope and our prayer, O God, that we might live each and every day as your Easter people, knowing that triumphantly Christ has overcome, we have overcome all the things of this world. May your hands, your blessings continue, O God, to rest upon us that we might continue to become and to be that person that you have created us to be. That the light of Christ might permeate our souls, that it might radiate forth to the world. That each and every day our lives might show this celebration. As we come this day, O God, knowing that we are united together with our brothers and sisters around the world, we know that the world is not as it should be. O, this day there is love and joy and celebration. But we also know that all we need do is turn a corner, and there are those who are filled with rage and anger and hatred. There are those last night that didn't have a pillow or a blanket to cover up and keep them warm. There are those today that aren't sure where their next meal is coming from. There are those that society pushes aside. The least, the lost, the lonely. Oh God, continue to bless us that we might continue to be a blessing to those around us. That where there is hatred, we might be your instruments of peace. That we might share the love of Christ. Where there is hunger, we might offer food. Where there are needs, might we meet them. We pray for the hurts and the needs of your people. The names of individuals on our prayer list, the names and situations of individuals listed and voiced today, and even those things that cannot be made public, but you know because they are on our minds. Oh God, we pray for your healing wonders and blessings to be upon your people. Oh God, it is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we ask and pray all these things as we share together in the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. O God, great giver of new life, thank you for this day of Easter joy. On this morning, Jesus appeared to those who had begun to lose their hope and opened their eyes to what the scriptures foretold, that first he must die and then he would rise and ascend into your glorious presence. Gracious God, thank you for your Son and for all you have given us. With all praises to you, we bring forth our gifts so that your message of new life can be proclaimed to all your creation. In the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Listen now and hear these words of scripture that come to us from St. Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Paul writes these words. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ had died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me has not been in vain. On contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim. And so you have come to believe. May God's blessing be upon the reading and the hearing of the holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of Scripture, their teaching and claim upon our lives. And now, O God, it is our hope and our prayer that in these moments that we share together, that you might give us rest from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Given a choice, it's probably easy to say that we prefer full over empty. Full sounds positive. Empty sounds, well, kind of negative and lacking. Empty implies want and need, whereas full suggests an abundance and a blessing. And yet, Easter is not for full people. Easter is for empty people. There are two types of people in the world. There are full people, and there are empty people. So which would you rather be, full or empty? And most of us are probably thinking, well, for crying out loud, David, I'd rather be full, and if you let us out on time, I'm going to go eat and get full. Full Easter egg. Basket full of candy, chocolate. Kids are going, yeah. Full church on Sunday. Wonderful. Children, full choir. Working on it. Children full of respect and honor. Good thing. A home full of comfortable and plush furniture. Wonderful. Marriage full of laughter and love. How can you beat it? A full stomach. Hopefully, yes. A full bank account. Full pantry and shelves. Absolutely. A full tank of gas. Expensive. Later on the way home, you might say, hey, kids, those envelopes Grandma and Grandpa gave you, let me have them. I need to get home today. You get the point. A person who is full is one who's able to look at his or her life and say, daggone, every need has been met. Every fear has been silenced. Every obstacle has been overcome. And most of us are probably thinking, yeah, where do I get in line for that? That's what I'm looking for. Perhaps we all want to be full and filled. But let's be terribly honest. If we believe that we are complete, that our lives are right now in this moment 100% as they should be, then this day and this message, the reality of the resurrected Jesus Christ, just isn't for us. So here's the real deal. Easter is not for full people. It isn't for those individuals that have it all together, life is good. Because Easter is for those that are empty. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is for those who figured out that in this life, full is something that whoosh, is there and gone. A fleeting feeling. As an example, one analysis of the spending habits of American people and families reveals that the vast majority of our income is spent on things that need constant replenishing. We spend almost all of our treasures on food that will be eaten, gas that will be burned, clothes that will wear out and go out of style unless you hang on to them for 20 or 30 years, entertainment that lasts but a moment. No matter how much you eat this afternoon and this evening, come Monday morning, guess what? You're going to be hungry again. And maybe you've discovered that this side of eternity, the beauty of spring always turns into those hot, humid days of summer. And it doesn't matter whether your son or daughter, let me back this up, whether your daughter's in the cutest of Easter dresses, I didn't want to include sons with Easter dresses, or your son is in the best outfit, cutest outfit, that next year it's not going to fit them, or perhaps later on this evening it's going to be stained beyond belief. Some of us have felt the emptiness of losing someone close. Others here know what it's like to have your health fading away, or to have tension and families that are fighting. If I would ask for a show of hands, and I won't, but how many of you could say, yes, David, I've got a prayer that has been unanswered. Yes, David, I've got a fear that won't let go. I've got a depression that has been lingering. I've got a faith life that's stagnant. I'm in a marriage that's struggling. I've got kids who are crazy. And the kids are all saying, I've got parents that have flipped out. I've got in-laws who are nuts. Now see, only the ones laughing today don't have in-laws with them. Or how many of us have experienced a future that's just filled with uncertainty? You see, there are those who know that fullness is fleeting and know what it feels like to be empty. The good news this morning is that all of us who fall into that category, then you are the ones that Easter is for. Because Easter is not for full people. That Easter is for empty people. In fact, listen to another version of the resurrection story that we find in Mark's gospel. Mark being the shortest of the four gospels and the first one possibly written around 65-70 AD. Mark writes these words. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen, he is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, in Mark's earliest writings that we have, the gospel ends there. Did you catch those words like alarmed, fled, trembling, and afraid? You see, Easter morning has its beginnings in the emptiness of one's heart that overwhelms the disciples who have seen their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ die, and the anxiety comes from expecting to see his body and instead hearing of a risen one. The temptation is to look at such emptiness and see it as a bad thing. But let's not even go there. The truth is that our emptiness is a great thing. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Here the Apostle Paul helps us understand that being of the empty tomb and the blessings of it are upon our lives. He writes, if Christ has not been raised, your life, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this day, this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. You see, Paul's point is this. If Jesus Christ is still dead, then all we have is another great teacher who promised the world but died before he could deliver, just like everybody else. If his bones are still stuck in some tomb, then that means there's no clear path to the Creator. No certainty that our life after death will be experienced, and no trustworthy teaching about why we exist in the world. If he is still dead, then all we have is our emptiness. But the good news of the day is that Christ is not dead. He is alive. Christ is risen. And since the tomb then is empty, that means that everything that Jesus preached or promised is true, which is good news because Jesus has some amazing things to offer to us who know the emptiness of everyday life and living. The empty tomb means that Jesus' death on the cross was, in fact, a work of forgiveness for each and every one of us. It means that all the mistakes we've made that have left us wondering whether or not God really loves us, well, we realize then that all those sins have been wiped away and forgotten. But that's not all. According to Paul, Christ's resurrection is a glimpse of our own future resurrection. For there will be that day when Jesus Christ returns and gives to us that same experience he had on that first Easter, as we too are brought back to life. Those are the promises that Christ places in the hands of those who are willing to admit, I hope those weren't yours. Those spots are now empty. But when you take those plants home, please care for them that they might experience new life. So, two types of people, full and empty. But you know, ultimately, I've got to ask the question, which one are you? Empty isn't really a bad thing, because an empty tomb means that Jesus Christ is alive. And emptiness in your life means that you are the one that Jesus Christ rose for, and that you're ready to receive all of the gifts and the blessings that he has to give and offer you this day. Sure, full pantries and cupboards and refrigerators, gas tanks, bank accounts, those are all good things. But when it comes to Easter, empty is great, because being empty is everything. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the good news this day. It is our hope and our prayer that it might permeate our souls and our spirits, that we might be filled by you. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing the wonderful hymn number 310, He Lives. Our gracious and loving God, it is our hope and our prayer that your presence might rest upon each and every one of us, that we might be your Easter people, living, sharing, proclaiming the good news that Christ is alive and seeks to fill all of those voids that we have and that are in the world. Send us forth, O God, out into the world that we might be your church and your disciples. For we go in the name of the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. Amen.